In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the traditional calendar, Epiphany has its own season, which forms a bridge between the celebration of Christmas and the Sundays before Lent. But Epiphany also has a character which is all its own. The word Epiphany means manifestation, and in our readings throughout this season, we see Christ manifested in various ways. At the Feast of the Epiphany itself, he was manifested to the three wise men, the Magi, by the guiding of a star. And last Sunday, we celebrated the Feast of the Holy Family, which manifests the love of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And last Tuesday, the octave of the Epiphany, we celebrated the baptism of our Lord, when Jesus was manifest as the beloved Son of God by the Father's voice and the descent of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. And today we have the beautiful gospel of the marriage at Cana, where Jesus performed the first of the miraculous signs of his divine power in the gospel according to St. John. There are many profound spiritual aspects to this story, and I would like to reflect briefly on two of them. The first is Jesus' presence at the wedding. As St. Augustine noted, the fact that the Lord was pleased to be asked and to go to the marriage plainly shows that he is the author and blesser of all marriages. We recall that marriage is the only sacrament of the church which actually predates the church. Indeed, it even predates the fall of Adam and Eve and the entrance of sin and death into our world. Marriage was an essential part of God's original plan for humanity, as we read in the first chapter of Genesis. God created mankind in his own image. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth." By his presence at the wedding in Cana, Jesus reaffirms the holiness of marriage, the love of man and woman, both corporal and spiritual, and their vocation to procreate and to raise and educate their children. But this concept of marriage also has a mystical meaning, since it is a symbol for the union of Christ and his church, and of the individual soul with God. Heaven itself is seen in our Christian tradition as a great wedding banquet, where we will all participate in the joy of eternal love. A second aspect of this story, which I would like to mention, is in the nature of the miracle itself, the transformation of water into wine. This miracle has a human meaning. Jesus is concerned for the success of the party and the happiness of the bride and groom, and he is also responsive to his mother's request for help. But there is also a deeper meaning upon which we should reflect. For in the church's understanding, water is a symbol of humanity and wine a symbol of divinity. In John's gospel, after Jesus died on the cross, his body was pierced by the soldier's lance, and out of his side flowed blood and water, signifying that Christ was both true God and true man. And so in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, at the offertory, when the priest mixes the water and wine, he prays, "O God, who in creating human nature did wonderfully dignify it and has still more wonderfully restored it, grant that by the mystery of this water and wine, we may become sharers in his divinity, who deigned to become a partaker of our humanity, Jesus Christ our Lord." In this miracle of transformation at the wedding feast of Cana, Jesus is anticipating the transformation of our own human nature, which will be affected by his passion, death, and resurrection. By his sacrifice on the cross, we are made able to share in his divine nature, and thus we will, please God, be able to participate in that eternal wedding banquet in the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.